Hey, fearless fundraisers, I'm Dawn Lego. It's time, buckle up. It's a new episode of Raise Nation Radio, the one and only podcast made to inspire fundraisers just like you to continue making impact in our communities, building better tomorrows, and exchanging ideas. So whether you're a trailblazer or seasoned pro, you'll pick up the trends that transform your fundraising. And together, we'll dive into lively conversations and we'll chat with industry-leading fundraisers and thought leaders to explore hot-button issues and innovative ideas. So stay with us for the next 30 minutes while we inspire you to embrace the future of fundraising. All right, let's get going. Welcome back. I've just recently returned from the Raise Conference. If you're familiar with that, that's where Raise Nation Radio got its start a couple of years ago. We had a great connection with hundreds of fearless fundraisers around the country, and there's great content from Raise. So you want to check that out. But we are back to our regularly scheduled programming. There we go. And it's the end of September. So what should we be talking about at the end of September as we're looking forward to October? If you're a woman, or even if you're not a woman, we should know the answer to this question. It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Super, super important topic. And I am very happy to bring some awareness to it. Well, I'm not happy that I have to bring awareness to it, but it's an opportunity to use this platform to bring awareness to breast cancer. And I'm telling you, we have a story, a group of people, an organization that's going to be super inspiring. Just get ready for it. So with that said, I am very pleased to introduce my three new friends. We have Judy Shulak, CEO and co-founder of BreastFest. What is BreastFest? We're going to find out. You also have Sarah Shulak, who's a board member for BreastFest. And we have Kim Bird, who's the president of the board. We're going to get into it and talk about something pretty unique, pretty special, and what BreastFest is. But ladies, first, I want to welcome you to Raise Nation Radio. Thank you for joining me. I can't imagine that you had time in your schedule with it being a couple days before October, but thank you for being here.
You're very welcome.
It's an honor.
You're welcome.
Yeah, well, we're going to get into it so I can let you get back to a lot of things that you have going on, but our audience probably wants to get to know you a little bit first. So why don't we go round robin, round the room. Judy, we'll start with you. Just introduce yourself a little bit better than I did. What do you do for BreastFest? How did you get involved? And whatever you'd like to share about yourself personally before we dive deep into the mission. Judy, you go first.
So my name's Judy Shulak, and I guess I'm the reason that Shulak BreastFest exists because it was the unfortunate situation where I got breast cancer almost 14 years ago that caused us, I guess when you're kind of control people, when something like this happens to you, you say, well, what part of this can I control? And what we could control, or what I could control, was helping make it better for people in the future in any way possible. And that was kind of the reason behind BreastFest. But we'll tell you lots more about it. But we have an amazing group of friends and family that are all part of our organization, have been for a long time. And you're going to meet some of the key people that are with us today.
Yeah, I think we have two of those very special people and family members. So Sarah, tell us a little bit about you.
Absolutely. So I'm Sarah Shulak. If you couldn't tell by the last name, I am Judy's daughter. So I have also been with Shulak BreastFest Music Festival since the inception, since that beginning. And I can remember the origin, which I also won't spoil in my intro, since we'll get into kind of the how and why and when and where and all that stuff. But since the beginning, I've been working a lot on the marketing side of things. My background comes from marketing agencies and different, my degrees are in communication. So trying to get the word out about what we do, which has been really helpful, especially being on opportunities like this, the platform, like you said, to share the awareness of what we do. So I'm really grateful, and I can't wait for you to meet Karen.
Well, without further ado, it's perfect segue.
Good morning, Dawn. My name is Karen Bird, and I'm the president of the board for Shulak BreastFest. And I met Judy, I would say, about 14 years ago. Well, probably about 13 years ago, because I think it was after her breast cancer situation. And I was just so enthralled with what she was doing and how she was giving back that I knew I had to join them. So I've been with them for about 12 years now. Judy and I work together in an organization for a number of years. And it's just such an honor to be able to be here and give back. My role in the BreastFest organization is sitting on the board, as well as I manage the silent auction that we have, which you'll hear more about, and using the One Cause platform. So it's an awesome opportunity. Love it. And we just have a lot of good things to share with you.
Yeah, I heard that it's auction. And so I got to tell you, after this podcast, I'm going to go start checking out some of those items because, you know, I might want to walk away with one or two or three or four. Judy, so we're going to go back to you. Take us back to the beginning. It's such a stoic way of thinking, right? Like, I can't control this. I can control that. This is what I can do. This is how I can be positive, impact the communities. But that's actually not so easy when you're going through this yourself. So can you take us back? I'm already getting chills just anticipating what you're going to say. But can you take us back about your personal journey and how you were able to connect the dots and make this not just BreastFest happen, but this community? It sounds like it's strong, tight-knit, and powerful. How did you accomplish that when you're going through such a scare yourself?
Yes. Well, I'll take you back a little bit to share that we have a very musical family. So, mostly everyone knows musical except for me. And so for a couple of years, we live out in the country. So we had a pretty huge property and it was my husband's birthday. So we had 50 Fest. And so we had a bunch of musical performers and then he got to be the headliner. And then the next year, it was the anniversary of Woodstock. And so we had another music festival at that point.
This is just an intern, like a family kind of like 50 Fest. I mean, I just made my husband dinner.
So we had all musicians came out and played. And then the next year, wow, in January, I found out I had breast cancer. And it was crazy. No one in my family ever had breast cancer. So it was quite a shock. And once I got over, you know, I was very, very fortunate that I found it early. And so I was able to have my treatment right away. And then by that time, it was spring. And my family said, well, why don't we keep having music festivals only raise money for breast cancer? And then someone came up with the name BreastFest, which I have to say has been quite a hit. It really is very attention getting. And so we started Shulak BreastFest Music Festivals, and it started as a little backyard picnic kind of music festival. And I think the first year we raised as much money as we spent, but we got through it and it was a great opportunity. We had, you know, Karen and I worked together in our organization. A lot of our vendors gave us sponsorship dollars. A lot of our employees volunteered. I think people just cared so much. And it was just amazing. So it's been a labor of love. And what's really amazing about it is that we have so many people now that have moved on and are around the country. And we have almost all of our meetings on the phone or by Zoom, and we don't actually get together in person at any time to actually plan the event. We just do it all. And it's all having amazing people. I think I start every meeting and end every meeting by just talking how grateful I am for the people. And two of the most amazing people are right here because they just bring so much to it. I think one of the other things that's really amazing is that we just have such great auction. We talk a lot about it because on the auction, people can bid from all across the country. And so we just have a system down where we get the information out to people. They can go to our website. They can see Sarah's already busy putting up a little glimpse of what's in our auction just to let people know what's going to be happening. And yeah, I think that everyone, my husband always says, everyone knows someone. So
everyone knows someone. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
This is amazing. Really, I just, so it started as a backyard festival. I mean, I don't know if you heard me say it, but under my breath, I was like, oh, gee, I only gave my husband dinner for like his 50th, you know, but you actually had your husband be a headliner. Like, who does that? That's, you're just probably a very special, amazing family. And then to connect the dots and turn this into this festival that really connects people around the country, not just with the festival, but with the mission and auction, who doesn't like bidding on, really clever and fun. And so now you raise money, and then what do you do? You take that and you empower other organizations that are programming.
Yeah, that's one of the unique things is that we have 6 different charity partners right now where people can either give to Shulak Breastfest or they can give to one of our 6.
Can we shout them out? What are the 6?
Absolutely. So we have Angel Foundation. We have Breast Cancer Education Awareness. We have Firefly Sisterhood, where they have mentors for different people that have specific types of breast cancer. We have Hope Chest, and then Park Nicollet, which is where I had my treatment, and then Alina Health. So those are our 6 charity partners. We also added on one area where we provide a scholarship fund for one person that is in some way associated with Breastfest. We had a very special friend. We called her Llama Sue. Her name is Sue Waste, and she was our next door neighbor. She used to bring llamas to the event every year, and she ended up passing away a few years ago. And when she passed away, we, in honor of Sue, she was born in 1954, so we give a scholarship of $1,954 to a participant or two every year. So that's our personal contribution. I've always been a strong advocate of being able to assist someone in furthering their education if they choose whatever type of education that might be, not necessarily a 4-year degree. It could be a 1-year degree, a 2-year degree, whatever it is, they can apply for this scholarship. So,
wow. I mean, with one musical festival, you are impacting so many communities and charities and people going through a really tough time, which I want to hear about that from Sarah's perspective, because you're very involved in the Shulak Breast Fest, but it's also your mom. Do you remember those days, you know, 13, 14 years ago, and the scare for your family? And take us through your perspective, how you helped and support your mom through that. That had to be very endearing.
I appreciate that, Dawn. And it was a challenging time. I think it was doubly impactful for me because, sorry for the sirens outside, but I was actually away at college when I got the news. And I had just moved away from home. So everybody in the immediate family was still in Minnesota. And I had just moved out to Colorado to attend the University of Colorado Denver for my undergraduate. And I remember that my mom came to visit me in January and we had dinner and she had just gotten the test. And she didn't tell me that she even had the test. And maybe she had even gotten the news right before or during that time, because I think she found out on her birthday, January 21st. And I think overall the theme was that she didn't want to worry anyone. She wanted, you know, from a work standpoint, from a home standpoint, across the board, she wanted to exude that confidence. And I think going back to that element of control, you don't want to let fear win. You don't want that to be what guides you and your choices. So I think that if anything, it's a testament to somebody who can put on a brave face and really face the world in that way. And so when we were transitioning 50 Fest to become Breast Fest and later trademarking Shulak Breast Fest Music Festivals, and these are some of the
ones. Oh, I need to get me one of those t-shirts.
Yes, this was actually after, you can see after the 2020 and 2021, we did virtual because of the pandemic. We didn't want to bring that
little thing called COVID
back to the barn. And we made it look like Back to the Future. So we have a lot of fun with it. I'm definitely trying to push the naming. Each time we do a festival, we name it in different ways. In the beginning, like you're talking about the origin, we tried to have all of the names of the festival be music related. So the first one we didn't really name because we didn't know this was going to become an annual hit that we'd be doing 20 years later. But then after the first one, then we did, I think it was like track 2, or side two, and then it was track three. And then number four, we were really like perplexed. So we called it quadraphonic, and we started to get really ethereal with these musical words. And then by number five, we were like, we got to kind of like decide if we're going to keep going with all these musical themes. So then realizing that we were at one of those 5-year anniversaries, we decided to call it the Silver Edition, like a birthday party.
Yeah.
And so our 5-year became the Silver Edition, and then we kept naming in between, and then they became a little more subtle song references or just phrases that were impactful, like All You Need Is Love or Endless Summer. And then by our 10-year, we called it our Gold Anniversary, which was obviously during 2020. We did that as a virtual, which was such a trip to try and figure out the logistics of doing an online, virtual, completely virtual music festival to raise just as much money. And we did. And then
congratulations.
Now
That's
we're
great.
Excited. Thank you. So now being in our 14th year, now when we look ahead to plan the next year, we're really excited for that platinum to happen.
I was thinking platinum as you were going through. I'm like, oh, yeah, gosh, so we have to be there for the platinum.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be really big as it continues to grow. And I get the goosebumps because it makes you feel like those other music festivals that become name recognition, right? Vans Warped Tour, Lollapalooza, you hear those. And I feel like for the people who are in that community of Breast Fest that you talk about, that it has as much weight. And we've tried to keep it fun. You know, Judy really downplays it by calling it a backyard music festival, but we've had bands from across the country fly in to perform. We've had
I hope so. A lot of bands are hearing this and calling you up. Yeah.
Well, we would love it if that were the case. So maybe this podcast will help us get them calling us. But, you know, we had aerial performers, we had trapeze artists, we have face painters and bounce houses and things for kids. So while we say that it's this informative thing with a silent auction, the grounds that it's on, it moved from my parents' backyard to that space next door that Judy was talking about, the property where Sue Waste used to live, which is a giant barn. And that barn is over 100 years old that my father helped to restore. And they actually got it all raised up with a new foundation. So it's this beautiful restored farm property that people get to wander around and kind of be on this oasis where it almost makes you forget about all of those things that you're dealing with.
Oh my gosh, I need to come. I need to be there. You're so inspiring me. And, you know, I somewhat relate, Judy. I would never even very slightly walked in your shoes. I do have a daughter about, you know, the same ratio, you know, as you guys. And a couple of years ago, I, right around Christmas, go for my annual mammography and it comes back positive. And that led to test after test after test. I didn't want to say anything. I didn't want to ruin anyone's holiday. I wanted to be strong and confident. And I finally got to the biopsy, which came back negative. So I didn't have your same journey. I did have a different route. So I can't fully empathize about the heaviness of it. And I don't pretend to in any way. But my daughter caught me on Life 360. What are you doing at a rate, you know, like, where are you? And what are you doing? And I was like, ouch, you know. Fortunately, once I got the negative, I did then share to my family. But I just can't imagine, as you were both talking, it just hit me, you know, so hard that there's so many families, mothers, daughters, mothers, sons, husbands, going through this. And just the heaviness of what I went through, which is nothing in comparison, I can't imagine. And I'm so proud of both of you to have not only gone through it, survived it, but now this is a beautiful story. And I want to just amplify it from the rooftops. So Karen, to you, is that why you're here? Because I'm feeling the chill, the story, the connections, the community. Like, I want to be involved. Is that your story? Is that what happened? Like, you hear this and it's like, you can't help yourself. Is that right? What happened?
It's an awesome way to give back and to help other people. I had an aunt that had breast cancer many years ago, and a couple other family members and friends. And just hearing Judy and Jim's story and being, you know, seeing what they were doing to help others was just something that I had to be involved in. And to that point, it's been 12 years. So we worked together in Minnesota. Then I moved to Atlanta, stayed involved. And now I'm retired in North Carolina and I'm still involved.
Yeah. And you're not going anywhere.
No.
Wow. So who plays what? You said it's a musical family. How did it all start? Do you sing? Do you, you know, play the cymbal?
Who's Jake? So Jake is my older brother,
Judy's
oldest son. And when we were planning 50 Fest, I really feel like part of the push that made 50 Fest possible is not just the fact that my dad's a musician, because, you know, he is, but he's a little more on the acoustic, like less of the showboat kind of, I want to be in front of people side. But Jake at the time was building a recording studio and had built a recording studio on the Shulak's property, on my parents' property, in their pole barn. And he was had these plans to have this recording studio. And then they ended up doing mobile recording and sound where he could travel around and record for different people. And I feel like it was that network of him knowing I've got all this equipment right here at the barn. And then knowing that he has these networks of bands and musicians that he could say, hey, so-and-so, you recorded your demo at our band or at our recording studio. Would you play for this event? And so we were able to get some of those opening acts that Judy was talking about before my dad got on and did his whole like 50 Fest manifestation of this big birthday party all about him. But it was because we had that network of musicians there in Minnesota that the light bulb kind of went off and said, it's not just a musical family. You know, I've sung and I did percussion and things through high school. And my younger brother has dabbled with a number of different instruments, from piano to singing to guitar. And obviously my father with his 12 string and that classic sound of a strumming folk musician. And I will push back on the fact that Judy says she's not a musician, because then after all of these years and the career that she had working with Karen in corporate America, she ended up retiring from traditional work and opened franchises of music school. And so now she does work with music school and took her own lessons and learned how to play Sweet Caroline on piano, which she can no longer say she's not musical.
Oh my, you know, this is so unbelievable and so special that I'm feeling it was just meant to be. Stars were aligned from more than 13, 14 years ago. Stars were aligned 15, 20 years ago. This was your journey. This was your path. And it's that unbelievable that I have to believe that it's all, you're all here for a higher purpose and the greater use. And it's just really special. Judy, how proud are you of Sarah? And Sarah, how proud are you of Judy?
I'll answer first. Yes, I couldn't be prouder. She's amazing. And every once in a while, I never liked this when someone would say, oh, you are just a little Judy. I'm like, that is not true. She is Judy way plus.
Judy plus.
Yeah.
So Sarah, how proud are you of?
In these, like she mentioned that we started these, I decided when I retired from corporate America that I would work with each of my three children in an area of business. So actually my son Joe and I opened a mathnasium. So we teach kids math. And then my son Jake and I opened the Bach Tarak Music Schools, so we teach kids music, and we have three of those. And now they're the major sponsor, and our Bach Tarak kids play for the first couple hours now of our event. And then Sarah and I have a business called Relatively Speaking, because we're relatives, and we speak together, doing workshops on creating a great culture and building a great team. And when Bach Tarak, our music school, got bigger, Sarah became our director of HR. So we are all intertwined.
Just like a fabric all woven together.
Yeah.
It's pretty. Can you adopt me? Yeah. I want to be adopted. How do I become a Shula? But
yeah.
Poor mom, well, dad, love you very much.
And you, if you order more than 10 items, you become a Shula.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Okay. Yeah. So it's end of September. You have a very busy month. Of course, breast cancer doesn't begin on October 1st. And end on October 31st. People are living with it 365 days a year and going through their journey. Let's just talk about that. You know, what are the plans for October? How do you sustain that all year long? And what do you want to share to the people out there that are first hearing, getting that first result of that first mammography, or haven't gotten their mammography, or they're going through their journey, or they're survivors? Let's talk about the messaging and the inspiration to the communities that we serve.
I think that I mean, what I found was that it was very, I mean, I'll just call it like, no one in my family really had cancer. So I just thought if you got cancer, you died. I thought that was how it worked. So I was just thrilled to find out that there was so much hope and possibilities after that diagnosis that in ways I feel like I was grateful that I found out about having breast cancer, because that led me to find out that I had low bone density and I really had to watch that, because otherwise I could unknowingly like break something that I didn't know I had that issue. So anyways, I am the kind of person that just takes it as it's given to you and do the best you can with it. And there's a book called The Triumphant Patient, which I received from a friend of mine that also worked with Karen and I. His name is Peter. And he gave me the book, The Triumphant Patient, when I was diagnosed. And it was so, such a special book that I've given it to everyone since then. And it just really talks about your positive attitude, which it's not like you can just wish something away, but how you handle something is very important to the outcome down the road. If you, I think, just hide yourself away under your covers and try to pretend like you're not having this situation, you're not going to be able to address it properly. But being able to have a good attitude, to advocate for yourself, if you don't have a great doctor, find a different doctor. You know that you have to be your own best advocate. And then, you know, really just work towards, I just felt, you know, making my life positive and normal. And just, I mean, I had breast cancer. It doesn't define who I am. It was part of me. I learned from it. You'll never be the same since before it. They always say that it's the club that no one wants to be a part of. But once you are, it's just a real special community with other people that have had, you know, similar situations. So,
Not being too personal, was it a mammography or a self-exam that got you to?
Well, that's a really interesting part of the story is that I actually had, I had a lot of cysts. So my doctor would always say, you know, I'd point this out and she's like, you know, it's round, it moves. I think it's a cyst, but let's check it out. And so I had many situations where I would go through all the testing and it always came back nothing. So this time I had a mammogram in November and it came back fine. And I just happened to be, I don't know if you remember the P90X, the workout situations that around this time. So I started doing that and had been doing some pull-ups and my muscles were really pulled and I was taking a shower and I was like, oh, my muscles are really pulled. And it kind of got me to go like right here against my, like right against the chest wall. And I'm like, I said out loud, it's not round, it's not moving. And I think I got to check it out. And I immediately went to the doctor, found out right away that it was breast cancer. So I guess that would be a real big suggestion would be always do those self-exams. I mean, it was against the chest wall. There's just no way it would have ever shown up on a mammogram. So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so, I was so lucky, so fortunate. But that's the other thing is like,
we're so lucky.
Is like, if people think it's something, go to the doctor. There is a big group of people who are afraid to find out the answer, so they don't ask the question. And that's what we really tried to advocate with breast cancer awareness is if you think that could be something, go to the doctor. Because the earlier you find something out, the more likely you are to be able to do something about it. And so the other thing I want to mention is we have an amazing survivor ceremony every year. And so this was really an
amazing. Is that at BreastFest? You do at BreastFest? Okay.
Yeah. So every year we have a different speaker who tells their story. And ironically, I'll let Sarah tell you about our speaker this year. But, you know, so we have a new person from the community. Last year, we had three women that worked with Karen and I, and they all got breast cancer. And the three of them spoke together in a panel.
Oh, goodness.
So, but Sarah, talk a little bit about the survivor ceremony.
Well, when is BreastFest? Is it October 5th? Do I have that date right?
It does change. Yeah. So we kind of fluctuate. It used to be like the last Saturday of September, and then it was the first Saturday of October to be in Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
It's always early part of October.
We're always trying to battle the weather is the tricky thing.
So, but this year it's October 5th.
Yeah. So now I think after this, we're going to swing back into the last Saturday of September.
Got it. Okay. And so your speakers this year? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I just love talking about this entire survivor celebration because when you think about Shulak Breastfest Music Festival, the thing that stands out is the music festival part of it. And Judy mentioned that it kind of had its origins in this Woodstock style day of music. So it would normally start pretty early around like 11 or noon. And then we would go until like 6, 7, or 8. You know, it's kind of fluctuated in starting and ending times throughout the year, but it's always like a day of music with all these bands or performers or entertainers and that kind of circuits or fall festival feel. But in the middle of the time or in the middle of that experience, we kind of stop the music and bring the lull and we have the speaker come up and there's some other announcements and things that happen during that time. We will maybe talk about the sponsor, the scholarship, and we'll have a volunteer of the year. And there's kind of some administrative stuff that happens. And then to have that speaker go up there and just to think about the impact in that speaker's life, this might be the first time they're sharing the story in a public setting. It might be the first time that they're standing up on a stage with a microphone in front of people and saying, I have cancer, or I had cancer, or I went through these tests, or I went through these things. And I had the honor last year of being a moderator for that panel that Judy's talking about. And one of the women actually wasn't able to be there because she did have complications with was it her mother? There was someone.
I think her mom.
Yeah. So, you know, there's reasons that we understand that somber tone and the seriousness of
gravity.
The gravity of it, exactly, and the weight that it takes up. But when you see how quickly that is dissipated and it turns back into this joy and this hope, because after the survivor speaks, what happens is, and I'm not sure if they're always ready for this or that they know it's going to come, but as soon as they're done speaking, Judy and Jim get back on the microphone and they invite all survivors of all cancers. So it doesn't have to be breast cancer. If you are still standing here that you've gone through this or you're currently going through this, you're invited up. And then the band kicks off and starts playing again. And all of they all dance together in the center of this barn. And usually there's like a song. And for probably a good 7 years, that song was I Will Survive and I sang it. And then I think I kind of had to self-acknowledge the retirement of that song and that we needed to kind of refresh it and have different things that amp people up, whether it's that popular fight song that came out, this is my fight song, you know, whatever it is that really brings them together to dance and feel supported. So I feel like the combination of showcasing a speaker every year and then having those charitable partners who are so close to be those resources to help them and then feel that closeness of the community grabbing their hand and saying, come dance with me, we're here together. I might get choked up when I talk about the speaker this year because I grew up with best friends in high school, right? So I grew up with that group of besties. I grew up with that group of besties that you just did everything with. And we were so close knit that I considered that best friend's mom like a second mom to me, right? And she wasn't Jasmine's mom. She was Mama Stacy. She was my mom, you know? And there were things in my life that happened that she was there for that I'm like, only a mom is going to understand this, right? And so you stay in touch with these people. You move across the country. Like I said, I moved to Colorado. Now I live in Orlando. You move around the country and you still stay connected with these people on Facebook, thanks to social networking and things like that.
Positive side of social,
exactly,
social media, right?
The things they intended it to be, right? So, and as I was scrolling, all of a sudden I see this picture of Mama Stacy ringing her little cancer bell that she's done with her treatment. And I am nearly floored.
Taken back.
I didn't know she had cancer. I didn't know she was dealing with this. Here we are with this incredible organization and music festival that's all about, that lives and breathes breast cancer. And I didn't even know that my best friend's mom is going through
Judy,
this
that's
situation.
How moms are, right, Judy? We just don't.
She really
yeah.
was. And so I asked Jasmine, I said, hey, would you mind if I reached out to your mom and invited her to the music festival? Because they've never been. And I thought it would be a good opportunity. And I didn't want to say just because she had this happen to her, but because she had this happen to her, she might feel that now she's more inclined to go to this. And then I think we were on a board meeting. Karen was there too. And we were on a board meeting and we were like, well, what if she spoke? What if she was the speaker? Yeah. And I said, I don't know. You know, I just saw her with this picture with the bell. It's so fresh. It's so new. She just finished her treatment. I'm not sure that she'd want to go through all of that because it brings it all back up for you, right? And conversations happened and Judy ended up meeting with her at a little cafe, Good Day Cafe up there in Minnesota. And she said that she wanted to do it and she'd be willing to be our speaker. And it's
going to be special.
Powerful. Exactly. Because we've had people who are maybe coworkers or people who are family friends get up and give the speeches, but to have it be somebody who's so close to really the whole family. And I'm just so grateful for the relationship that Judy and Stacy have been fostering now, because now both Jasmine and I have moved out of the state, but that it continues to keep the reason. It's almost like the reason for the season, right? It's like, we want to have fun. We want to be in Music Festival and there's trapeze people and all that, but really this is what it's all about is creating this moment of safe space and togetherness for survivors.
Will you all be there on the 5th? Everybody will be there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I do want to bring up one other thing.
Please.
In addition to the survivor ceremony and the auction, we have this whole, we have food that's going to be there that we'll have. We have a marketplace where there's people buy tickets and they can buy rings to throw around wine. And we also have a non-alcoholic booth called Sober Betty's. And
that's where I would be.
You can try to get a mystery mocktail.
Okay. Oh, you think of everything.
We also have a thing called Judy's Purses where people can buy a ticket and put it in a purse. And then at the end, they can put as many tickets in whatever purses they are hoping to win. What they don't know is that one of those purses will have $250 in it. And then at the end of, right before the survivor ceremony, and when we have some announcements, then we pick a ticket out of each purse, that person wins. And ironically, one of the people that has won several times these purses is a guy who had, his name is Ward, and he had cancer many, many years ago, and he has never missed a breast fest.
So, wow.
But the real marketplace is just, it's a big deal. And then we have a kids area where kids can do like a toilet paper toss and, you know, they have all these games and they can win prizes.
Toilet paper toss? Well, tell me about that. What do you do with toilet paper?
Well, there's like a something that would look like a toilet and then you have toilet paper and you try to throw toilet paper into
it. So you really, really, really take in the backyard experience, things that you would do in your backyard, which you did from the get-go on a little bit higher level. As I said, my husband got dinner for his 50th. He didn't get
well,
to headline anything.
My husband hasn't had dinner in like 50 years.
Okay. But you've taken the backyard, but I guess you had it on a whole different level, but then you just brought it on this just fun level. I mean, there's something to be said about the gala. We all love our galas, right? But this is really a special fundraising event. It sounds like it's all about fun, community, celebrating, but you never lose sight of your why and your purpose throughout it. And I'm so proud of what you're doing and the community that you've built. But I do want to close with the auction because I didn't get the tea yet. I heard that this is like one of the most special auctions. You've procured some of the best items. We're so honored that One Cause could play a small role and that we power all of the bidding. But that aside, tell me about these items and when I get off this call, what am I going to see?
Yeah, I think we should let Karen chat about that because she's in charge of the silent auction.
Oh, Karen, please, I want the
technology.
Tea. What do I want to bid on when we get off this call?
There's some fantastic vacation packages that you really need to look at.
Okay.
One vacation home in Florida, another in Mexico, and just all kinds of really neat things. You know, whether it's gardening or it's household or it's art or jewelry. Love the jewelry. I think I buy jewelry every year or I bid on jewelry every year.
Will you ship? I'm in New Jersey. Can you ship?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, not a problem.
We ship all over the place, you know.
Okay.
So you just have to check it out. There's some really cool things.
When does the auction open?
It opens at 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, I believe. Is that what we
had? I think we're doing the day before.
That's right. You're right. We moved to the day before. Yeah.
And then we stay open until I think like 5 on the day,
of the event.
And speaking of the fact that you live in New Jersey, I think that's one of the the things that has really helped us with utilizing One Cause, we have people that really do bid from all over the
country. Everywhere. Yes. Yeah. Everywhere. I mean, I have friends in Georgia, you know.
Yeah, you can't pass around a paper, right? No. You can't do paper bid sheets and get somebody from New Jersey bidding, right? It just doesn't work that way. So,
and the awesome thing is even the people that are on site for the festival, they're sitting there with their bid pal open and they're walking around looking at everything and they're bidding and they're trying outbidding each other. No, you know, it's like, oh, I got to raise it up again.
How long have you been using the software?
Probably about 4 years now, Sarah? Was it longer? 5 years?
Oh, it's got to be longer than that. I want to say that we've been using it maybe since 2011.
Wow.
It's really been a long time. Well, no, that's when we started. So maybe,
I think it's about at least 6 years.
Yeah, at least 6 years.
Yeah, well, we also used to have a live auction for a couple of years in the beginning. We had enough big ticket items and high paying people that we could get these really high level items. And I remember one of them was tickets and airfare to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. So some of the things that we got donated at that time were so huge. But as we learned through the years that our demographics changed, and maybe we didn't have all those people who were going to raise a paddle and drop $3,000 in this really engaging hot bidding war of a live auction. And we just transitioned everything to silent auction, where we realized that rather than making it kind of awkward and forcing people to go through this really high stake live auction, we just said, you know, it's probably not as beneficial in the long run as a really big duck silent auction. Like
can't wait
with all these different items. And so many of the donations and things we get are for national chain. So in addition to like what Karen said, that there's the trips that anybody from anywhere can take advantage of, you know, one of them is like a Buffalo Wild Wings gift card. You could probably find a Buffalo Wild Wings near you, you know, so just
right around the corner of my house.
Yep. Exactly. So just because the things aren't either in your price range or accessible to you, we really do see it's the kind of space that has something for everyone.
Well, we love to shop, but you know, I mean, it's all about the higher purpose and helping this very special, this movement. Is it a 501c3?
It is.
So,
yes,
okay.
It's a 501c3. And I do have to mention
please.
We are from Wisconsin, and I think if anyone hasn't been to Lambeau Field, this is their opportunity because we have two sets of tickets to the October 20th game at Lambeau Field.
Oh,
amazing tickets. So that's another auction item. We also do have a trip to California to Comedy for a Cure, which is part of another charity that I'm part of, which is tuberous sclerosis.
Do you sleep any of the three? Do any of you sleep? You have three businesses, a full family, you're part of another charity. You keep saying you're retired, but I don't see anything in this conversation that indicates that you're close to being retired.
Yeah.
Very special. Okay, I want to close with this. What do you need? There might be somebody listening. They want to get involved. They want to volunteer. Okay, well, one thing we know is we can either go to Breastfest or participate in the auction or donate, right? Those are the given. What else do you need? How else can people get involved? If somebody's out there listening, what would help you the most?
I would say come to the event. Also, you know, if you can't come to the event, we have raffle tickets. We have, you know, our online auction. Please support us in any way that you can.
Judy, what about sponsors?
Yeah.
If they're listening.
We would love any additional sponsors. And the other thing, I think Sarah mentioned this earlier, if there is somebody that's in a band that would like to come to the event and not do it at an exorbitant cost, because anything that we spend, you know, takes away from the money that we give to our charity partners. But I think if somebody was in a band that would love to be a part of this, that would be really great as well.
Corporate sponsors, band, bid on the auction. We got it. I want to wish you the best of luck, not just on the 5th and with your auction, but you know, from now until you're platinum and beyond, it's really special to see this community. Yeah, Sarah.
I dropped off and I just want to say, I want to address the elephant in the room that our name is very long. The Shulak Breastfed Music Festival can not only be difficult to spell and say, it's really hard to remember to type in your URL. So one of the things that we did to be more accessible is create a little short link. And we use the letters S-H-O-U-E-F. So it's like ShooBF. So So that is going to be our Instagram handle. I'm pretty sure that's what we are on Twitter or X or whatever it is now. And if you actually type in shoelef.com, it's a quick link to get you to the full Shoelef Breastfest Music Festival.com. So if any of those vendors or sponsors or people just want to follow us on social media, that's where we can be found.
Well, I appreciate that. We duly noted. We actually have, you know, this modern podcast format that gives us the opportunity to write show notes. So I will wrap that all up and put it in the show notes. We'll put all the information, all the links. We're not going to even have to let people worry about spelling it out. They just have to go to this podcast episode and click some links and we'll get them right to you. So that's the beauty of podcasts. I think it gives us the best of all worlds. Well, I can talk to you guys all day. We're going to have you back just to hear how this Breastfest went. But it is about, we have to wrap up. That is about all the time we have for today. Fearless Fundraiser, what do you think? Inspire, talk about building a community. We really appreciate you listening. And we hope you enjoyed the Shoelac family and all things Breastfest, and you have some information, inspiration about perhaps your journey, if that's the journey that you're on. Judy shared with us for sure that there is hope. Please tune in for this episode as well as all of our episodes. We drop them on Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. You can listen to them on your favorite podcast channel. We stream everywhere. We're also on YouTube and on demand at onecause.com. I would like to thank our sponsor, OneCause, for making this episode possible. OneCause is driving the future of fundraising with easy-to-use digital fundraising solutions that help nonprofits connect with donors. Check it out, onecause.com. And please visit our resource tab. On our homepage, there's a broad catalog of content that hopefully you'll find very helpful. A huge shout out to Judy, Sarah. Oh my gosh, I'm getting my Shoelock and Sarah mixed up. Judy, Sarah, and Karen for just sharing a very authentic voice. And I so appreciate you all being here today. We talked about gratitude, but I'm so grateful to each and every one of you. You inspired me, but now let's inspire our audience. Let's go round robin again. Any last words of inspiration for those that are tuning in? Whoever wants to go first.
All right, well, I'll start. I would just say very simply, be your own advocate and you will achieve what you believe.
Beautiful, Judy. Sarah, Karen?
Sarah, go ahead.
I would probably just say follow your passion, because I think that's where we've gotten a lot of our great volunteers and speakers. And when you're driven by your heart, it doesn't always steer you wrong.
Yeah, especially you guys are the poster child of that. Karen, bring us home. Any last words of inspiration for our audience?
Yes. First, I'd like to thank all of our volunteers. And if you're listening out there, you are so important. And if you have the opportunity to volunteer, please don't even think about it. Just do it, because you're so important. We can't do it without you.
I love that. We always forget about the volunteers, but gratitude to them and to everyone who helps make Shoelac Breastfest a success. I'll be thinking about you on the 5th. I have to run now to go check out all those silent auction items. Thank you again so much. That is a wrap. Until next time, I'm Dawn Lego. This is Raise Nation Radio. Stay fearless out there.